Desire your prayers this morning. Y'all been talking a lot about comfort zone. And, you know, that's something that affects some people. That's no problem. But I have found in my life that my comfort zone has been stretched many times. And just about the time I think this rubber band is going to break, the next time it gets stretched some more. But you know what I found out? The Lord is not near as concerned about how I feel about something as he is about me being willing to give of myself. Now, that doesn't help comfort zone at all, but it just makes me realize he's not shivering and shaking when I am. I desire your prayers this morning. I'd like to talk to you this week. The Lord's been dealing with me about something, faith. And I would like to look at it through the eyes of Apostle Paul and his experiences. When we think of the word faith, I have anyhow, I've always thought about it in this way. I've got a problem, and I need the faith to be able to believe that God can take that problem away. That's the only way I saw faith ever works. Have you ever had times going very well for you? Life has no problems in it right now. Have you ever gone to the Lord and said, Lord, I need the faith to believe that you can allow some problems to come into my life? Never did. Because they'll come on their own. I don't have to exercise faith to believe that the Lord will send a problem into my life that I need. Job didn't say, Lord, you know what? Things have been going real well for me. I believe you could send some problems. Job just lived his life, and the problems came to him. Amen. The Apostle Paul lived his life, and the problems came to him. A lot of problems came to him. I would like for a little while today to just follow his life and then compare it to the life that I'm living and the things that come into my life and how I face them. I'd like to look at the very beginning when Paul was even called. I'd like to look at Acts in the 9th chapter because it sounds like his beginning is going to be pretty good. In Acts, the 9th chapter, when Ananias is afraid to even go pray for Paul, and the Lord has a talk about the plans that he has for him. 9 and 15, go thy way, the Lord talking to Ananias. Paul, he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. Now that sounds pretty good. Paul is a chosen vessel for me. But then here comes the next verse. I'm going to show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Got lots of plans for Paul. Got a lot of trouble I'm going to be sending into his life. So I looked at Paul, and there was a verse that came to me one night. This week I woke up with it, and that's what got this started. In Acts, in the 27th chapter, here's one of the problems that Paul is facing. In 27 and 20, you know, with this story in the 27th chapter, he's a prisoner, and he's on his way to Rome. And he tried to give some advice to them, don't sail any farther. Things are not going to go well if we sail any farther. Now, commander of a vessel would say, okay, I'm going to listen to this prisoner. Well, naturally, he doesn't want to sail any farther to put him closer to Rome. So they didn't listen. They had this big storm came up. And it says in the 20th verse, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Look at what had come into Paul's life. You know, we will pray for good times to come to us. God allows some negative things. God allowed Paul to be on the vessel and suffer right along with the rest of them. It looks like all hope has been taken away. And I tried to look at this experience, how it must have been. For days and days, there was neither sun nor stars. And I remember reading sometimes about ships that would sail in many years ago. There was no GPS. They were able to track it by the stars, if you could see the stars, or by the sun, if you could see the sun. But it's gone now for days. And there's a big wind a-blowing, and they don't know which way they're going. But I was looking at this with Paul. You know what? He still got faith to believe right in the middle of the troubles that come into his life. Folks, we would love to live with no problems. We would love to be able to advertise, if you become a Christian, you'll never have another trouble. We wouldn't be, we'd have to get some more folding chairs out for here if it were that way. But what we can advertise is, you become a Christian, put your hand in the Lord's, and when trouble comes, he will be there with you. Trouble is going to come to everyone. It'll come to the sinner as well as to the saint. But when I look at Paul and how he was able to put his, you know, he didn't pray right there and say, Lord, I'm living for you. I should not have to suffer these kind of things. But instead, he put it in the Lord's hands. And the Lord went to speaking to him in the 22nd verse. I exhort you to be of good cheer. Amen. Good cheer. They haven't, those folks haven't even eaten. They've been so scared, afraid, and their all hope has been taken away that they would be saved. And Paul is coming on to tell them to be of good cheer. And here's why. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am. You know, he didn't have a question about whether he was the Lord's or not. It was just an assurance that he had. Stood by me, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all that sail with thee. You know, that's amazing. Paul, you're on a mission. You're going to Caesar. This is just a little trouble in between here and there. So don't let it get you down. And then he says to them, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. You know, I don't have any plans of going out on the ocean on a ship. But you know what? We can have troubles come into our life real quick. You remember how that experience even started? The reason they decided to go ahead and continue sailing was, they said a soft wind started blowing. And it made them feel like this is the time for sailing. And they had not sailed very far until big troubles came into their life. You know, we can have the same thing happen to us. Trouble comes our way. Don't have to ask the Lord to give me faith to believe trouble will come my way. It's going to be here anyhow. The faith I need, it is so easy for me to believe that faith is that the trouble be removed. I do not want it to last. I'm willing to have the flu, but I don't want one more than a 24-hour, because I've got things that I need to do. We always would like for it to be taken away. But Paul had this, I believe God. Just got my confidence in God. And I was looking at another experience of a storm in Mark, the 4th chapter, where the disciples were in a storm. They needed help from the Lord. We need help from the Lord in our storms. Mark, 4th chapter, 37th verse. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. You know, with all the times they had spent with Jesus, you would think, as long as we stay in the boat, we're with him and everything is going to be fine. But instead, just for him to be in another part of the boat asleep makes them feel like he must not care. We could be in some big trouble. And they awake him and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, rebuke the wind. And he said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You know what? We have storms that come into our life. And that storm seems like it can just about overtake me. When all it needs is just a word from Jesus. And maybe the storm is still going on, but I got peace in the middle of it. We have a verse of a song that says, the waves around may fiercely roll, they cannot harm my trusting soul. Regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to Thee. The darkest night, brazen sky, they're pierced by faith's unfailing eye. Here's what my cry will be. My cry shall be till time shall cease. O blessed Lord, my faith increase. Increase to the point that I don't even have a storm come next time? No. Increase to the point that when the storm comes next time, which it will, I will know that He's in command of the storm that will come to me. That has been the challenge to me of what faith really is. I love the times when I can pray and my problem goes away instantly. But I tell you, faith is tested more when it continues, but then I can have peace in my soul through the middle of it. I'd like to look at John in the 14th chapter and the 27th verse. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, it would have been easy for Paul to have told them to be of good cheer if he saw the sun starting to come out. The waves were calming down. But you know what? He's probably hanging on for dear life himself with a ship a-bouncing, and he's telling them, hey, be of good cheer. I believe God, and the storm keeps on right then. Jesus said He wants to bring some peace to us. It's not the kind that the world can give. The world right now is desiring peace itself. And that peace is no conflict going on at all. And about the time we feel like we got it stamped out in one place, it pops up in another place. And it just continues on. But instead, Jesus, remember when He looked out over Jerusalem and He wept? It was because He knew that this was the peace that He was wanting to give them. Was that their situation did not have to change at all. They could still be ruled by the Roman rulers and have peace in their soul. Our condition today doesn't have to change at all, but we can have peace in the middle of that storm. There is a song, I'd like you to sing it with me, because I think it's very important for me to realize on the times when I pray and the answer doesn't come my way, I'm guaranteed that I can have peace in the middle of it. When my soul was disturbed with sorrow, when my heart was burdened with sin, Jesus opened His arms of mercy and tenderly took me in. There is peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the there is peace though the world be raging. In the shelter of His arms, there are storms that we all encounter. Do not fear, they will do you no harm. In the Lord you will find protection. protection in the shelter of His arms. There is peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the storm. There is peace though the world be raging. In the shelter of His arms, though the world all around be raging, and it's filled with many alarms, trust in Jesus and He will keep you in the shelter of His arms. There is peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the storm. There is peace though the world be raging. In the shelter of His arms. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. There's a time, there's a window of opportunity for me to be able to plant. You know what? I can wait past that time and planting will not help. There's a time to plant. There's a time to be able to reap that that you have planted. There is also, if I want to have this kind of peace in the middle of a storm, there is a time, a window of opportunity for me to prepare for that. I remember living in Louisiana, and I've probably told it here before, when hurricane season came and they would start giving us the predictions. It's a little different with a hurricane than it is a tornado. Tornado, you just got a couple minutes and you better find yourself a shelter. A hurricane, they can tell you clear out when it starts from the west coast of Africa. It's heading this way and they can watch it as it moves and predict where it will be landing, and you can have a little time to prepare. And I remember when I was living down there, as it would start getting closer, and they would say, it looks like it can have landfall in Louisiana. And you better start preparing if you are going to do anything. And preparing meant go get you some water, go get you some groceries, and put some plywood up over your windows because things are going to start flying around. And then they come on in closer. It was 2 days warning, and now it's 1 day. And then they tell you, it's here. It's just within a couple hours, it will be here. You know what? There was a time for me to get the wood on our windows if I'm going to do it. And then there's a time when it's too late to get wood on your windows. It's too late to go running across the yard with a sheet of plywood because I should have done it early and I didn't, and the wind has hit. I was reading even this morning of the hurricane back in September that went into North Carolina. And they said that when it came in, it was a slow moving. And there was a one town that it dropped 36 inches of rain and just could not flow off fast enough. It said that it had a sustained wind of 130 miles an hour. That means it comes and it just keeps on coming. You know what? It's too late. If I haven't done my preparations then, it's too late then. You just hang on and hope for the best. You know what? In my life, it's almost too late to wait till the storm. It's just the mercy of the Lord that'll help me through it then. There's some preparation that I can do in my life to help me to prepare for when the storm gets there. And I have been in some of those hurricanes where it hits, and like this, it's over 100 miles an hour wind blowing. And they will tell you maybe it's blowing west to the east. And it seems like it's hours that it blows and trees are falling. And then all of a sudden, there's a dead calm. There is nothing moving. There is nothing making a sound. And you would think, it's over. And they say, don't move. You're in the eye of the storm. What you're fixing to see is now the rotation is going to go back the other way because it's been going in a circle. And the first part of it passed you. Hang on, because you got that much more coming on the backside of the storm. Storms that can come into our life. You know what? There were storms that came into Apostle Paul's life. You would have thought a chosen vessel would have lots of good things land in his life. Paul had so much trouble come into his life. I'd like to look at a little bit of it. And there's a reason for looking at it, because I think it'd be a help to us. About the time I think I've got a lot of troubles come my way, I need to look over here at what Paul went through. 2 Corinthians 11 and 26. Or start back at 24. By the time I think I've had some troubles, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep. And then in journeyings often in perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils by the heathen. You know, you could stand the perils by the heathen, but it's kind of tough to catch it from your own countrymen. And I was thinking of the time when Paul received word, there are over 40 men that have bound themselves under an oath. They will not eat or drink again until Paul is dead. You know what? That wasn't heathen people. Those were Jews that said that. We have bound ourselves under an oath and we're making plans for how to have his life taken. You know, that could be kind of hard for Paul. Remember David, I could have taken it if it was an enemy. But it was my friend that caused me these problems. And they seemed to be harder to get over. But you know, Paul didn't only have it by the Jews that wanted his life taken. You remember he would go from one city to another. And you would hear these folks, they weren't satisfied. They followed him to the next city to stir up some trouble again. You know, Paul at any point could have said, I'm through with this. But he didn't do it. I was thinking of another one, the trouble from the heathens. You remember with Demetrius, there were some people that were going to lose their livelihood, silversmiths, that had been making shrines for Diana. And they recognized, you know what, if Paul keeps this up, enough people are going to quit worshiping Diana, that our livelihood is in trouble. And they stirred up trouble for Paul. Those storms that came to Paul. And you know, these things that he said happened to him in 2 Corinthians 11 and 24. I want to look at something. In Galatians, I had not really tied these two together before, but in Galatians in the 6th chapter and in the 17th verse, the end of that 17th verse, I bear in my body the marks. Now, you think the marks of each one of those heathen people that beat him or the Jews that beat him? No. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. You know what? These are things that he has allowed to come into my life. I thought of Job and the troubles that came into his life. Because I tell you, the troubles that come in our life, you will most of the time be able to attach somebody's name to those troubles that come. And if you're not careful, that name is who you can be thinking about that caused you the trouble. Job knew who took his animals because the servant that escaped told him the Chaldeans got these, the Sabaeans took these. But when he ended it all up, when he fell on his face and he started worshiping, he said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If I want to have peace in the middle of a storm, it's going to come from me saying, the Lord allowed this problem to come into my life. It wasn't this person. Yeah, maybe he let the person do it. But the Lord had some purpose in what happened to me. That same thing happened with Joseph. Joseph knew it was his brothers that dropped him in the well. Knew it was, he saw when the transaction took place for the money changing hands, and now he's a slave. He's gone now. You know, you can't erase those things from your memory. They're going to be there. But you got to do something with those things, or they will haunt you and cause you to lose victory. And he did it. When he had the opportunity to turn things around for his brothers years later, he said, don't be upset with yourselves. It wasn't you that put me here. It was God that did it. And I believe this is what caused Paul to have victory in his life. Is he realized, you know what? All these things that are happening to me is because God has allowed it to be able to happen. There was something else in Acts, looking at his life. Acts, the 20th chapter. Because when these things have happened, Paul's going to have to do something. He's going to change. It's going to change him one way or another. 20 and 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that befall me there, except I know one thing. Here's what he knew. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. And what does he say? I've about had enough of this. He says, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. He's got a purpose. I want to finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. To be able to say it's all in the Lord's hands, what he allows to come into my life. And then in the next chapter, 21 and 11, there was a prophecy given of what was about to happen to Paul. Said, if you go into Jerusalem, you're going to be bound there. And the people that were with Paul said, please, don't go. You're going to be in trouble if you go. And look at what Paul says to them in the 13th verse of the 21st chapter. Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Willing to put himself in the Lord's hands and let him work. There's a song that we sing, Never Alone is the title of it. And I looked at it this morning, and we could say that song is redundant. It says the same thing a whole lot of times. What does it say? No, never alone. You know what? If I have no problems going my way, that song can sound like, that's just a little too much. I got it in the first verse. But you know what? To Paul, I think he would have loved to heard that song when he's bouncing on the waves and the Lord starts singing that song to him, No, Never Alone. Because whenever I look through it, it says it 36 times. Just in case you didn't get it, in case your trial is still going on, remember, no, never alone. Chorus, I could probably write the chorus myself because it was just say it over and over and over. But you know what? When we're in the battle, we need it said over and over and over to us. Because the devil at that time would love to cause us some difficulties. Do you remember, I don't guess they even have them now, but we used to have the old records and the record player. And some of those old records would play them enough that they would get scratched. You know what would happen to it? It would get hung up somehow in this little spot to where it would just say the same thing over and over and over. It'd do it all day long if you didn't go move the needle to another spot and get some more of the song. You know what? That's what that song is. Never alone. Dan, you're never alone. No matter what troubles next week come to every one of us. We don't have to be alone in the middle of it. There's another song that we have in that verse. The world's fierce winds are blowing. You know what? Today they're blowing. Temptations are sharp and keen, but I feel a peace in knowing that my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when earthly friends are gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. You remember what Satan said about Job after all of Job's temporal possessions are gone? And Satan meets up with God again, and he said, "Yea, skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life." You know, Paul's end was approaching, coming down to close it out. And I'd like to look at how he closed it out. You know, there's a verse that says, "Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Paul didn't have that trouble. Look at how he closed his out in 2 Timothy 4 and 6. I don't know if they had given him the date that his life would be taken. But I believe, looking at this, I believe he understood it's close now. And he says, "I am now ready." 2 Timothy 4 and 6. Folks, this is what we're living for. Because we're going to go out of here one day. And all of the troubles that we have had throughout our life, they have done one thing or another for me. They have drawn me closer to the Lord, or they have caused me to become bitter at the dealings of Him. Paul said, with all those things that he had written, how many times he was shipwrecked, how many times he was beaten, how many times he was stoned and left for dead. That's a lot of things happened to one person in a lifetime. And he says, "I'm now ready to be offered." One more time, here's the closing out of my chapter of my life. And he's willing to let it be done. "I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight." You know, I don't believe he was bragging. I think he's just stating facts. "As the things came to me, each one of those, and when I was stoned and they thought I was dead and they went back in the city and I got up, shook myself off. I didn't quit. I didn't go hide out in the wilderness. I went on to the next city. Fought a good fight. Finished my course. I've kept the faith." This is the most important thing for all of us. "There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." And it wasn't just for Paul. "Not for me only, but to all those that love his appearing." Love his appearing? Yeah, I want to be ready. I would love to meet him in peace. But you know what it's going to be done? How it's going to be done is one day at a time, as the storms come into my life and how I deal with them. And one thing is, if you're having a good day today and everything is well for you and there are no problems, that's okay. Get your plywood ready, because things are going to happen in your life. Build something with the Lord, a close relationship, to where when the storm does come, I'm not down at Home Depot and all the plywood has been sold out. No, I've already made preparations for the storms that will come into my life. So his chapter is closed, and ours is still open. And I'm thinking about a verse that the disciples said in Luke, the 17th chapter. In 17 and 5, the apostles said unto the Lord, "Increase our faith." What was the topic that they were talking about? Were they saying, "Lord, I would like to have my faith increased because every once in a while I get sick, and I'd like to have more faith to where I can make the flu be a 3-hour flu instead of a 24-hour flu. I want all of my troubles to quickly depart." Is that why they were saying we need an increase of faith? Here's what he's saying. Look back there at that first one. "It is impossible, but that offenses are going to come." They're going to come into every one of our lives. Just get ready for it. It's hurricane season. There will be some hurricanes come. It's tornado season. Make preparations because they're liable to be coming. This one, it's impossible, but that they're going to come. But then it goes down to tell us what we need to do to prepare for the storm when it does come. It says in the fourth verse, if a brother trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and turn again to thee saying, I repent, forgive him. You remember when Peter was saying, Lord, what about it? Is this what I should do? And he said, no, it's not just 7 times, but it's 70 times 7. And this is where they said, Lord, I tell you what, I need an increase of faith to believe that you can give me the power to release people that wrong me many times in a day. Lord, I need my faith increased. There is a verse over in Jude, and I used to say it's in the first chapter of Jude, but there's only a chapter. So it's in the 20th verse of Jude. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, there are ways that I can build my faith. One is that I not let the things that God does for me, no matter how small they are, I not let them go by me and just count it that that's just the way things are. I find something that's happening to me as I get older. It can become a big thing when I can't find my keys. And they seem to want to disappear real often. Or just, if it's not the keys, it's something else. I find it at work is happening, and I wonder how much longer before they say, you need to retire. Because I'm sure I did this, or I'm sure I needed to do it and find out it's different. But here, it's good for us to, if we have to write it down, let's write it down the last time the Lord did something for me. You know, I'm finding out I'm having to ask him on some smaller things than I used to ask him about because they are big things for me now in my life. But I was thinking about Sister Margaret Eck when she wrote a little book. I believe it was intended for her family, but I have been blessed by it. Was when she started just writing down the experiences of her life, the times that the Lord answered prayer for her family, for her children. And then she titled it with a very important title, Lest We Forget. Just so that I won't forget and I wonder, Lord, I got this big storm that I'm in right now, and I can't remember a time that you've helped me out in the past. All I can see is this. That I have in my memory bank is the best place to have it. That it starts coming back to me. Remember the verse that says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And sometimes we can think that's going to be some huge event that happens. You know what? That event could be nothing more than him reminding me of the last time that he helped me through a trouble. And that he's willing to help me again. So she wrote the book entitled it, Lest We Forget. And lest I forget the many times that the Lord has helped me out in the past, and I cannot remember them the next time a storm has come to me, I want to be able to ask the Lord to help me in this area, that I remember those times when the Lord has helped me. When Samuel was praying for the children of Israel, they were repenting. And while they were repenting, they're all together, and the Philistines come to battle. And now they're begging for Samuel, don't cease from praying for us. And Samuel went to praying. And you know, if we can try to figure out how the Lord will take care of this storm in my life, I'm finding more and more as I read the stories, and Mom and Dad read the Bible stories to me, and those Bible stories ended up in a way that I would have never done it had I been asked to do it. I would have never in Jericho said, here's the way to fight this battle. Walk around it quiet one time every day. The last day, you know, I was reading about Jericho, and it was saying that wall was so wide that they could have, and so tall, so wide that they could have 3 chariots beside each other. and so tall. And I look at that and I see, don't resort to human reasoning. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. That was good for Joshua back then, and it'll be good for me today. In the storms that come to me, that I'll be reminded, God doesn't have to work in conventional means. He didn't do it with Samuel. Said it was a great thunder. You know, God can do it how he wants to do it. And he did it then with a great thunder. And so they would forget, we hear now of an Ebenezer stone, to be able to remind them, God helped us in the past, and he can help us out in the future. There was an event to the children of Israel when the Egyptian army was coming along behind them. The Red Sea is in front of them. And again, they prayed to God. And he did what no man can do. Parted the Red Sea and dried up the bottom to where they could walk across on dry land. And you would think, I will never forget it. There will never be another event bigger than that, but what God can take care of it. And the next chapter in Exodus was the Song of Moses. They were so happy for the victory. But you know what? They didn't even get that chapter finished out before they had another trouble. They just needed water this time. The other one, they had way too much of it, and God took care of it for them. They just need water to drink now, and God is well able to take care of it. But they forget so quick. And you know, when I would read the story of the children of Israel, many times I would look at that and say, what was the matter with you? Why could you not remember? And then I say, uh-oh, wait, I'm doing the same thing. When the storm comes into my life, it is so easy to only focus on the storm right now. But Lord, help me, help us all, to be able to remember, to have some Ebenezer stones, that the next time trouble comes into my life, I can say, the Lord helped me in the past, and he will help me in the future. Faith, what is it? I love it whenever I can ask the Lord and he takes the problem away. But you know what? It is great when if the problem continues, that he walks by my side through it. I appreciate that. I desire your prayers.